Welcome into the official Guru Nation Fantasy Football Podcast. I have a special guest today. None other than AK, who some would call AK Davis. How are we doing today?
Hi, Dalton. I'm really happy to be here with you today and to basically recant all these falsified statements that were made by Nihal in the previous podcast. There were a lot of things that were said that kind of got to me as being really opinionated, and that's not really, you don't want really want to put your personal opinion as to how these players are as people. I mean, I don't think that's very right. It's really judgmental and really adds to his nickname of a Quammy.
All right. Before we head into some Nihal talk, I know you have some experience in writing and you're very active in the fantasy football community, correct?
I definitely try to be, for sure. This past season I've been writing for SkullKingFootball.com and you can find all my articles there. I really tried to study and be intense about fantasy football, and this Dynasty League in Guru Nation is primarily the reason.
Yeah, man, you're definitely super active in here, and you know it shows that, like, your passion for fantasy football, just with all the moves you're making, and just everything you do inside Guru Nation. So we appreciate that, man. And the fact that you're writing is cool, man. It's good. It's good to kind of, you know, give you that credibility that, you know, you're starting to make a name for yourselves, just starting to grind it out. And that's cool, man. I'm excited for you.
My Twitter is at Guru Nation 808. At Guru Nation FF 808. That's my Twitter handle. So I'm trying to be as involved in Guru Nation as I possibly can.
Guru Nation 808.
FF 808.
FF 808. All right, I'm following you right now, AK.
There you go. Mad Dog AK.
Mad Dog AK. Just sending you a follow. All righty. all right, so that was kind of good just to kind of lead us off here. Now right into the thick of things, you know. Nihal compared you to Mark Davis. What do you make of this comparison?
Honestly, I mean, it's complimentary because he's a good owner. He's trying to continue his father's dynasty, and I can really honor that. You know, I don't know if it's a Hawaii spirit or the Aloha spirit, but it's really cool that he's trying to continue it. And who knows, you know, if he's going to sell the team in the future, but at least for the past couple years, he's been continuing it. He made the move with Gruden to give him a big contract, but he secured a coach for a very long time, an awesome Super Bowl winning coach that's been an analyst for the last X amount of years. And I really compliment Mark Davis, and I think that that's more of a compliment than an insult. So I'm not rejecting that comparison, you know?
There you go. I mean, Mark Davis is marketing the Raiders now into Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And AK is marketing Guru Nation. We don't know where yet, but it could be somewhere crazy soon.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. The future is bright. The future is bright.
All right, so when he's calling you, when Nihal's, like, insulting you, he calls you out, and you respond, and you say that he is a Quammy. Now can you enlighten us? What is a Quammy?
Well, it's, I don't know, and from when I was a kid, a teenager, and I was growing up here in Hawaii, I guess, it's kind of like that feeling of a person you see that is being a real chauvinist, and they're trying to be really into themselves. They know they're the best, or they think they're the best, and it's very narcissistic, and they make judgments about other people, sometimes even behind their backs, or trolling, as Nihal does a lot. I mean, he just ridiculously trolls people, like, out of the mind, and he doesn't have any idea that it's kind of an invasion of privacy, and in some sorts he doesn't really care, and that's kind of the definition of a Quammy.
Wow. So I'm on Urban Dictionary right now, and a Quammy, the definition says, when a really fat person has really fat quads and they run down over the knees. Are you calling Nihal fat?
No. No, that is not the thing that I'm accustomed to. There should be, in that Urban Dictionary, like three definitions, I thought. And that is not the one that I was referring to. That is referring to the quadricep muscle being affected in some insulting way. And that's not what I'm referring to at all. I'm referring to the definition that I'm more used to.
All right, so Nihal is a quammy boy, as you would say, because he makes judgments. And
yeah, well, he tried to pull, oh, we're the quammy boys. No, he's the quammy in this situation. He's the definition that I'm used to, and I'm not that definition. So, you know, I just made that a point, and because he's trying to lump me into his category, and that's not cool because it's not true.
Wow. All right, so if you had to compare Nihal to one NFL team, which team would it be and why?
Well, I would think it would be probably the Birmingham Iron from the AAF. They try their mightiest, but it just, they come up short and they can't do it. And I think the record right now is like 2-3 or something. And, you know, that's an interesting aspect in itself, but the Birmingham Iron is the team I would compare. I would say Nihal is most like, for sure.
Wow. Birmingham. And he's a fan of the Birmingham Iron.
He has a jacket and the whatever else.
Wow, he's got all the gear
they produced.
A true Iron fan.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, Trent Richardson, man.
He's on that team, huh?
He's a beast.
Wow. That's crazy. All right, so I need to know from you. You are in the same division. Nihal's your rival. Who's going to win G-Unit this year, AK?
Man, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that I'm going to take this.
No doubt in my mind.
Back to the islands.
Now, is that more representative of how your team is, or is that a shot at the teams in your division?
Well, I think Joseph has a really strong team. He's going to be an issue, but it's more representative of my team and me making moves and feeling confident in my lineups.
Now, Nihal is the reigning champ in G-Unit. Is this correct?
Okay, he had 100 more points than Joey scored. He had the same record as Joey, same divisional record, just had 100 more points scored in total. That's the reason he won the division, or else Joey would have won the division. And Joey was actually leading up until week, like, 12. So it's kind of ridiculous for Nihal to say, I'm the champion. It is what it is, and I had one less loss than him, but I beat him during the season. So I don't know, you know, how he can say he's the best. I beat him in our one match. We're supposed to have two matches, but this past season it was one match, and I beat him. So
wow. So how confident are you that you're going to take down Nihal this year in your matchup?
Oh, I'm. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
I challenged him to a bet of $200, but he declined.
$200 bet?
Yeah.
Wow, the confidence is just steamrolling out of you, AK. It's just steamrolling out of you, man, and I gotta respect it. Thank you. I have a question. What other facts, like, should we know about G-Unit?
Well, I think it's a very compelling division as far as all of our divisions go, namely because it's one of the only divisions that had a player that had to leave the group and have a new player come in. So I think that adds a little something, especially because that person was very inactive and he didn't make moves with anyone. He was very to himself, in a sense, off of social media, and not participating in the group. And then when it came to be draft time, he messed the whole draft up in the first round. And then again in the third round. So it's like he had his chances. He, you know, had the shot. But I think it was him that actually decided to leave. And then Major came on and took his spot in my division. So really thinking that it's on a better level than it was in year one. And that's, you know, it makes, adds an interesting aspect to the division.
I think G-Unit is the most intriguing division. There's so much going on.
Hot Boys last year, everyone in the division went to the playoffs. So I think that they're the best division overall. But
they don't bring the entertainment aspect. There's not rivalries as strong as there is. It just you and Nihal. It's like the Red Sox Yankees. It's like you guys are going at it. You guys have to fight against each other to make the playoffs, and it's gonna make Major so amazing. Do you think Derek did this on purpose? Do you think Derek knew before he put everyone in the division that your guys' personalities would just interact in this way?
Well, I think he knew his brother's personality for sure. And maybe had an idea of Nihal, but, you know, when I was invited, I didn't really have any input. I wasn't active or, you know, anything before we got placed in the division. So I don't know how that could have been a total plan, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so after that year one, then it really started picking up, especially when I ran for Trinity.
Now, is there anything that would squander this beef between you and Nihal? Like, what would Nihal have to do in order for you guys just to be in harmony inside Guru Nation?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He's just the definition of a quammy. That's what really irritates me, and kind of gets me to say my piece when he says his piece.
You know,
so that's.
You know what I think we need? I think we need a group, a Guru Nation therapy podcast. You and Nihal hop on. We hash out some issues. We hash them out live on a podcast, and we get down to the bottom of this. And the goal is to be civil between you two. You think this can happen?
Wow. It's going to be interesting. I'll make it happen.
I'll
participate. I don't know if Nihal will, but I'm not afraid to say my piece and contradict all the fallacies that were spewed by him. It really got to me that last podcast because he spewed a lot of opinionated fallacies that, you know, he's the best, and he knows this fact, and it's just not true. So yes, I will participate. I agree.
Alrighty. I think it's a good way to end out on the Nihal talk. Let's shift over a little bit to some NFL news. We had a huge day yesterday. It was huge. Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets, signing $13 million a year. And then you have the big news that no one expected, Odell Beckham getting traded to the Browns. What are your thoughts on these shocking developments?
Well, with OBJ, I mean, at least now he has a young quarterback that is capable of getting him the ball down the field. I don't know if his targets are going to increase or decrease, you know. With Jarvis Landry being there, he takes a lot of targets. When it was just Odell, he was getting like 15 a game. I don't know if that's going to be still the norm in Cleveland with Landry and Njoku and, you know, Kareem Hunt when he plays. There's a lot of new aspects that he didn't have to contend with in New York. So yeah. I'm not sure how it will affect him. But then Le'Veon Bell is another situation. It's a completely different situation. He got paid and he's happy to be in the market that he wants to be in as far as his rapping and everything. So this could be like a future football move to make a name for himself in New York. And then New York had the cap space to make splashy moves like this. Mm-hmm. And they needed to do that to reconcile their fan base and get them behind a rookie quarterback or young quarterback. So, I mean, at least this was a very splashy move on their part. I mean, you look at their receivers, they're nothing, you know, to make a name of. They just signed, I think, Crowder. And
you can't forget Josh Bellamy.
Josh Bellamy?
Wow. I'm just kidding.
Wow. So, yeah. So, the receivers, I mean, they had to make some splashy move to make, you know, to reconcile the fan base. So, I don't think they're going to make a playoff run in the next year or even couple years. But, you know, maybe I'll be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah.
The new coaching staff coming in isn't anything to jump around about. I mean, you look at the Miami scheme for the past couple of years where Adam Gase and the other assistant is from, it doesn't make you feel like the Jets are on the prime run right now.
I gotcha. Makes sense. So there's been a lot going on in free agency now, and that affects a lot of player values in fantasy football. Who are some players that you think have their stocks gone up, and who are some players you think that their stock's gone down since free agency hit?
Okay, well, my thought, I have Jordy Nelson on my team, and at first, you know, them signing Antonio Brown, bringing Nelson down a rung, and then now with Tyrell Williams bringing him down in a sense even more, I reconsidered that thought and realized that it puts Nelson in the slot where he was most effective in fantasy football point production. So I feel like these moves actually help his stock instead of hurt it, because him in the slot, he scored all his points. I mean, it was like 60-something percent. So as far as that move goes, that's how it would affect my team. And, you know, and then the Nick Foles to the Jags, I think, is a good thing because, you know, Blake Bortles wasn't utilizing Marquise Lee how he should be utilized. And Foles, as we've seen in the Super Bowl, you know, last year, can actually get the ball to someone down the field. So, yeah, I think that was a good move, too. That's how it would affect my team.
Cool. All right, good to hear from you on that. All right, let's talk a little bit of Matrix here. There's a lot going on behind the scenes in Matrix right now. What are some updated rumblings that you're hearing about in terms of the trade market?
Well, Major's trying to make some moves. He's trying to get a hold of some pieces. I'm not sure what his thought is as far as winning G-Unit division, because that's just not going to happen. We'll see. And, you know, rumblings, Aaron Sanders made a move, you know, and we're talking about probably one of the biggest moves in any season of Guru Nation. It would be something very, very earth-shaking. You know, the more we talk about it, and I don't know, you know, if that thought is in your mind about our trade talks, but I like the trade, and if you want, you know, it's getting the most amount of value out of those players, I feel, on your part, but that's for you to say.
Yeah, no, we're definitely talking about shaking things up here, and it's a trade that would allow you to have a strong team in G-Unit. I mean, there's already not a doubt in your mind. If you go ahead and get the player that we're discussing, like...
Or players,
then, like, A, you're the favorite. You're the favorite for G-Unit there. And then, you know, Nihal and Joe Spitta and Major, they're going to have to make corresponding moves to deal with you, man. Like,
I mean, I made the thought of collecting these picks during the season, and now I have a stockpile of ammunition to, you know, make my lineup better if I don't want to, you know, wait till the draft, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
100%, man. Gotta respect it out here. All right. Yeah, so there's big things going on there. How do you respond to unofficial trade gate?
The unofficial post. Trade gate?
Yeah, where Derek's out here posting that the trades, he's not keeping track of the trades. How do you respond to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely keep track of all my trades, and I'm now Matrix correspondent, so I keep track of everything. I mean, anything that's posted on the forum, I'm going to keep track of. So he does not need to worry about anything. There's not going to be any mistraded picks at all. That was something wrong. Last season, I didn't even send that trade proposal. That was Mike sending, or Major sending the trade proposal to me, and I didn't realize it, and I agreed. So that's why that pick was mistraded. But it wasn't like an intent, and I'm really on it when I was entrusted to be Matrix correspondent, and I feel the forum is all for fun, and you know it's interactive between players. I don't see why ESPN can post about trade proposals and free agent signings way before it's open, you know, and we can't. Like he never said we can't, so it's. It's a great thing. It's fun between players just to be able to see what's going on and make comments and interact with the proposals that are, yes, quote unquote, unofficial until actually MFL is set up, which I hope is very soon.
Yeah, true. And you made a good point. It's like these agreements are all made like just like the NFL contracts that were being made yesterday and the day before. It's like these are verbal agreements. Most people aren't going to go back on their word, but it's like
yeah, it puts your word behind it, and I feel word is the most important thing you have. And you know, other people might not feel that way, Nahal, but I feel it is the most important thing you have behind it.
So you're saying if I made a trade with Nahal right now, that he wouldn't back his trade when we had to make it official. When the new league year opened.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. he might, if the dude he got just got injured right before the opening of the period, then I think he would back out.
Wow. So you think he would play me out?
I mean, if the dude like tore his ACL right before and he had the opportunity to back out, I think he would. If he traded like, you know, something large and significant.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Alrighty. Speculation, but, you know, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one way to find out. We have to make a trade with Nahal, and someone has to tear their ACL. And then we find out who the Quammy is.
I never hope for injuries, ever. Like, I never want to see a player get injured. Never. It really sucks.
It does. It's just a part of the game, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. It is,
man. All right. Talk a little draft class here. Who's your top quarterback in this draft class?
Well, it's definitely Haskins. I mean, he's been the number one in college football this past year. He's really young. He's coming out as a sophomore, and he has the talent and the ability. He played for a great scheme. Over there in Ohio State, and I think he's the most capable quarterback coming out right now. You know, as far as the other, there are other capable quarterbacks. I like Drew Locke. He's trying to model his game off of Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's really cool. And he has at least the right mindset to work and put in the effort to do it. Will Greer from West Virginia is also another quarterback that I like in this draft. I don't know how highly he is on people's draft boards, but he could be a sneaky pickup.
Yeah, I agree. I think Will Greer is going to be like a day two kind of guy, and I think he has some starting potential in the league right there.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Kyler Murray?
Oh, man. You know, the jury's still out on Kyler Murray. A lot of people think he's the next Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson special, and it's going to take a lot to make that happen. But we do have the example of Mahomes and Russell Wilson being baseball players and then going to football. So at least he has the arm strength, we would think.
Yes.
We'll see how it goes.
I agree with that. All right. Should the Raiders stick with Derek Carr, or should they go after one of these top quarterbacks? They have the fourth overall pick.
Well, I think competition encourages the best out of people, and when you do that to a superstar capable quarterback like Derek Carr, it's going to incite a ferocity coming out, I would think, and he would, you know, do everything he can to be the best and keep his job. So I think, yeah, it would be a good idea to bring in some competition, because they don't have a backup quarterback right now, and they need a significant backup to Carr just in case of anything happening. And then also it would incite competition in practice and show Gruden really what Derek Carr is.
So you think they more bring competition in for Carr to just like elevate his game, or do you think they bring in actual competition for there to be a potential that the other quarterback takes a starting job away from Carr?
Well, there's always that potential, mm-hmm. you know, even if they're brought in to incite Derek Carr to be better. But I think that would be the main idea, would be to make Derek Carr a better quarterback, because he's very capable and he's a great quarterback. He is. And I think Gruden wants to use him, but, you know, this past season just was such a drag as far as his quarterback play goes.
Yeah. So if they're at the number four pick and there's a quarterback there, whether it's Haskins or Murray or Locke or whoever, are you in favor of the Raiders taking a quarterback with the top pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and then they have other picks that they can go with edge rushers. I know there's quite a few in this draft, but there are a few top talents. But that's definitely a position they need to address. But yeah, I think as far as the future goes, I think getting a good, solid backup quarterback is important on many levels. And in practice, you never know what happens in practice. And, you know, it would make Derek Carr work harder, I would think.
Yeah, and it puts the pressure on him, because now if he lets his quarterback start in his rookie year, then he's likely out of a job. So it's
yeah, well, that's not going to happen. In my mind, I don't think he's not going to be the starter for 2019.
Wow. So you say this rookie sits behind Derek Carr for years, similar to what Mahomes did in Kansas yep. City, and then what happens after that? They trade Derek Carr, or they release him after a year, and then
anything could happen depending on his play.
Wow. So.
If you he takes them to the Super Bowl, I mean, they're not going
to... Wow, Raiders, you know, to the Super Bowl?
I mean, it's a potential. You know, there's always that potential. It's football.
Wow.
And Gruden is an amazing coach. So, you know, maybe not statistically, but he really has a good analytical mind and thought process and practice mode and how he works in practice. It's really honorable and something to behold.
Wow. Wow, I don't know how I feel about Raiders of Vegas, but like you said, any or Raiders to Super Bowl, but anything's possible. Anything is possible yeah. there. Mm-hmm. And before we hop off here, I want to know if there's any last comments you have in regards to anything free agency related, draft related, knee haul related, before we hop off here.
Well, I just feel that it's going to be an awesome season coming up, and I'm just looking forward to participating in Guru Nation as the Matrix correspondent. Really looking forward to that. And as far as my rivalries with a few different people, you know, they're all going down.
They're all going down.
I guess I'm not going to be making a bunch of bets, but I did challenge Nahal to one bet, which he declined. So I don't think I'm going to be making very many others, but that was an important thing that I wanted to get out there, at least, was that bet with him, which he declined.
Wow. Wow. He declined the bet. The decline bet.
I don't know. I mean, if you have confidence, why wouldn't you, you know?
Yeah, and it's spewing out of you, AK. The confidence spewing out of you. So you guys heard it here first. AK, the G-Unit champion this year. Are you talking Matrix first. Champion as well, or you're just keeping it?
I want to be. I mean, I'm capable of winning championships. I'm making a push. Once I get in the playoffs, that's the dance, you know?
That's the dance, like you said, man. All right. Well, I appreciate you hopping on. Thank you for giving me some updates around Matrix and what's going on there. Good to chat up with you. Definitely. We're going to have to get some group therapy going between you and Ehal soon. I may have a special therapist. I may have to bring a special therapist on board to help mediate these conversations.
It sounds like fun, and we'd be able to address a lot of different things.
Get down right to the dirty there. That's what we got to do, man. All right. Well, peace out, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Thank you, Dalton. Talk to you later.